Listening Dog Media.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The Offside Rule with Lindsay Hooper and Natasha Dowie, promoting women's football since 2013.
Welcome to the mailbag for the Offside Rule, where we answer some of your questions that you send every week. Do follow us on social media. We're on TikTok, we're on Instagram and on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Offside Rule Pod. You can leave your comments. Then either producer Callum or myself will be in touch because we'd like to get more voice notes coming through. We have got one of those today, but a few of them have just come in via messages. Let's start with number one, Tash, which is, who are the young emerging coaches that we should be keeping an eye on for the future? And also, there's two questions in one here. I love it when people do this. From Tash's time playing, which teammates did she think would make good coaches? This is from Phil in Evesham.
That is a good question, Phil. I was actually thinking about up and coming. Now, they're not exactly young, but they're not old. So I look at the likes of Joe Potter at Rangers. They won the Scottish Cup on Sunday. So I would say she's definitely one to keep an eye on. Ex-Everton, ex-Birmingham, ex-England international midfield player. And also a good friend of mine, Marie Hourihan. She's the manager at Stoke City Ladies as well. Remy Allen as well has just taken over at the London City Lionesses. So there's a few players that have
that
gone
was
in.
One of mine, yeah, Remy.
Yeah, yeah, gone into the coaching side. Mm. So I think a lot of females tend to go down the media route, truthfully. I spoke about it, but financially, I think, stability-wise, probably more free time as well. I think the coaching side, it's full on. So I have a lot of respect for the players that go into that kind of role. And then the second question, I would say two people stand out for me. Farrah Williams, I thought she would be a good coach. And I do know, I think she got her UEFA B, but she's kind of been dragged into the media world. I'd be surprised if you didn't see her maybe get involved in the coaching side. She did a little bit of Reading when I first signed there a couple of years ago, but probably time-wise doesn't have the time to commit. But I'd be very surprised, because she was obsessed with football and she was always the one, kind of like almost like the assistant coach when we were at Everton and when we were at Liverpool, and on the pitch as well, problem solving, you know, the amount of experience that she had. She's an intelligent football player. And then my second one was Casey Stoney, who actually has gone onto doing great things managerial wise. I played with Katie at Charlton and she was our captain there, and she was just a great communicator on and off the pitch. And then I was fortunate enough to play with her at England, and to do what she did at Man United and now having some great success over in America with the San Diego Wave. You know, it's just great. It's great to see players that have gone on to do well. So I think, yeah, it's exciting times for women football coaches.
I think we've had some good incoming coaches as well from around other leagues in WSL. I mean, I look at Robert Villaham at Spurs. I think he's very good. I think Brian Sorensen's good at Everton as well. Although maybe people expected him to kick on a little bit more than he has done, but I do think he's a good coach. And I know that she left Brighton, but Mel Phillips was someone that impressed me with the way that she spoke about the game.
100%.
I do wonder if she'll come back round again. So those are the sorts of coaches that we've mentioned. I'm sure there'll be other ones that come to our attention as well over the next 12 months, because it seems to be quite a fast track pace at the moment. I think there was obviously an initiative at one point to get more coaches in, and then suddenly you see more and more coming through, whereas it used to be really slim pickings at one point, didn't it? Our next question is from Nancy, who's in Lewisham, who said, Tash, what's your standout memory of a comeback win? Maybe this is off the back of hashtag United,
yeah,
who came back against Newcastle in that cup. She said, a game where you were trailing, you showed resilience as a team to get the win. It can be one or more examples from your time playing around the world.
Do you know what? This is actually crazy, considering I played for 20 years in six different countries. I never had a comeback, Lindsay. You know, not where, you know, we're 2-0 down or 3. No, it's been, you know, I've had those games where it's gone like 1-0, 1-1, 2-1, 2-2. You know, that I some that popped to mind would be Bristol City away when Gemma Bonner scored with 2 minutes to go to help us win 4-3. But that was a case of we went 1-0 up, then they equalised. Yes, do you remember it when she scored the absolute screamer?
And did Caroline Weir score in that game as well for Bristol?
Yes, I remember. Yeah. And that's one that comes to mind. I also think of a game at the Widnes against Chelsea where I actually scored the winner. I think we ended up winning 4-3 again. And it was that kind of, again, the whole 1-1, 2-2, that kind of build-up. I think as well of the FA Cup final when I got the winner with 2 minutes to go against Arsenal to win 3-2. But there's never been that 2-0 down, that real fight resilience comeback. It's more been, the neck and neck and then getting a late winner. So that's crazy, isn't it, to think all the games.
Wow, Nancy, you've stumped her because usually Tasha's got an answer for all of these. See, those are more late winners, yours. They're not so much comebacks, are they? Wow.
We were always too organised. We never needed to come back.
You played under Matt Beard too many times. Yeah. He doesn't let that happen.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, this is the next one.
Hi, Offside Rule Pod. It's Charlotte from Wirral. I was just wondering, we had the Liverpool men's legends match this weekend. Do you reckon we can start having any women's legends matches on?
Women's legends matches? Because we had the legacy caps and we had all of those women in the same room together at Wembley. That was at the USA game. And I was thinking that at the time, I wondered if any of these would put their boots on and do some legends games at some point. Maybe a women's soccer aid, because we've got soccer aid that joins everyone together. But I wonder if there's enough call for that.
Yeah, I think that, look, it's something that I'm definitely pushing for at Liverpool. So we had the Legends game on Sunday against Ajax, and I think there was 60 plus thousand there. And I've actually been speaking to the club potentially about me being the first female to play in that game. But I think with regards to women's Legends games, I think that'd be brilliant because you have the odd charity games here and there. I'm actually playing in one in May. Jade Moore's organising it and we're playing against a men's team. And she's been reaching out to a lot of the females, you know, the likes of Jess Clark, Gemma Davison, myself, Kerry Harrops, loads of ex-players, Emily Westwood, you know, to play against the boys. But I think it would be really cool if you got, you know, like a kind of World 11 or against a WSL team. Even like you said, at clubs, there'll be so many. If you look at our team that won the league back in 2013 at Liverpool, pretty much I think the only players that are still playing from that team is maybe Gemma Bonner and Lucy Bronze. So you think of the amount of players there that you could pick from, and Katie Zellum, sorry. And then you can maybe have like a Liverpool versus Everton, or I think there's definitely something that could be there. And why not? I think we always would love to put our boots back on. So why should there only be opportunities for men? Yeah, I think that's really important.
I also think, actually going a step further, that there's a greater responsibility in the women's game to put on Legends matches, because those people were not necessarily household names. They never had their moment in the sun because the game wasn't where it is now. And so how nice to dip back and go, you know what, these are the people that paved the way for us and they were brilliant in their day, but you've probably never heard of them.
Oh, could you imagine, could you imagine though, Lindsay, like Pauline Cope, you could have like Kelly Smith, you know, Judy Fleeting, Rachel Yankee, like Katie Chapman, like all those players. Yeah, it'd be brilliant. It really would. Yeah, let's make
Jane
it happen.
Jane Ludlow.
Yes. Oh, God. I wouldn't want to be playing against her.
I knew you'd say that.
Yeah.
Brilliant. No, that's a really good idea. Maybe there will be more of that to come over the next season. If not, we should start campaigning.
Definitely.
And a final question for this week's mailbag is from Ali in the US. And I do implore a lot of our US listeners get in touch. We've got another one for next week. And they just say that they're in the US and it's a huge place. We'd love to know where in the US you are, Ali. So do get in touch and let us know exactly where you are sending your message from. This is the question. Would Tash be happy to explain more about contracts in women's football, especially in England? Are there sell-on fees, goal scoring bonuses? See, we don't ever go into that minute detail.
No.
Can she give us a couple of examples of how hers have varied over the years as the game got more professional?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the contracts would have gone to another level even since I retired a year ago. But from when I first started playing, so at Everton, at Charlton, where we used to get, you know, a weekly fee of maybe, I think it was £200 a week or something crazy like that, or sometimes even pay as you play. So, you know, you'd get maybe a little bit extra if you got on, maybe £175. If you're on the bench, it'd be £75 a week. But then obviously it progressed, and I remember signing my first contract with Liverpool, and it was more of, okay, a fixed salary per year. Wasn't big money back then, 10 years ago. But as the kind of my career has evolved over the last probably 5-10 years, playing abroad was actually the first time I ever experienced bonuses. So when I signed for Vålerenga in Norway, and they offered me goal bonuses, which I'd never heard of before. And I thought, this is crazy, because back in the day, managers didn't like that because they thought players then would maybe, you know, shoot when they shouldn't be shooting and want to take penalties and free kicks and just be thinking about the goal bonuses. But actually, that became quite a standard thing towards the end of my career. So strikers, you'd have your goal bonuses and win bonuses. Defenders would have their clean sheets bonuses and win bonuses. Midfield players would have like assists bonus. Potentially, if they score, they'd have a goal bonus as well. And then in your contracts, you would tend to have a bonus, for instance, if you won the league, there'd be quite a nice amount there. If you won the FA Cup, you know, the League Cups, maybe finish kind of top three Champions League. So there would definitely be incentives. I also remembered when I played for AC Milan, my agent got in my contract that I could have two round trips, you know, to go back home to England. So if I wanted to go home, they would pay for two sets of flights. So I'd never experienced that before. So that was nice as well. But yeah, I'm sure now when you talk about sell-on fees, that's something that I never experienced. But I think the way the game's going now, I'm sure there's so much more to contracts now that I could even imagine.
And length of contracts, because this is famous in women's football. They used to be very, very short. So by the time you were finishing, had you got on to sort of 2 or 3 year ones?
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it, as well, because you see these players committing to like 4 or 5 years. And I think you tend to see it maybe with the bigger names, because they know that potentially if they did want to leave, a big club would pay them out of their contract and it wouldn't be an issue. I was always a bit wary of that, because maybe in my prime, I could have afforded to have maybe committed to a 3-4 year deal and then someone would have still paid me out. But when I was coming towards the end of my career, even though I was performing well, I was a bit wary of, okay, I'm 33, I'm 34. Is a top team really going to pay me out of my contract? So actually, funny enough, so throughout my whole career, I always only actually signed 1 year contracts. So the first time I ever signed a 2 year contract was actually when I signed for AC Milan. And luckily, it was semi-pro still over there in Italy. So I didn't actually want to stay the second year. So I was able to leave without, you know, any problems or issues. And then I signed a 2 year deal at Reading, purely again, because I was 34 years old. I thought, you know, 2 year contract at that age was good. But actually, it kind of went against me, because I wanted to leave the second year. I wasn't happy. And I was kind of stuck there until the January transfer window. And it was only in January then when Liverpool came in and said they would pay a bit of my contract to let Reading loan me out. So, yeah, I was always a bit scared of it, to be honest, because I felt it kind of, it restricted you if you weren't happy. And I was always one as well that I moved a lot, and I knew that potentially I would travel and I'd move. You know, there wasn't many clubs that I stayed at for more than maybe 3 years. So, yeah, I think you're right with regards to the length of contract. I think it is becoming a lot more common, but I was never a big fan on it, to be honest.
Finally then, when you were in Norway and you got your first goal bonuses, did you score more goals because of it?
Lindsay, come on, you know me. I was always scoring goals.
You were. But was there an extra couple in there where you're like,
yeah,
okay,
no,
I could
absolutely
do that this week?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not going to lie. There's a few times where, you know, if I'd scored maybe a hat trick or a couple of goals, I'd go home and I'd be having a little celebration with Becky, saying we can treat ourselves to a nice meal tonight. Or if I missed a sitter, I'd then be beating myself up thinking, oh my God, I've lost out on £100 or whatever it was.
And meanwhile, there's still a player in Norway somewhere going, pass it, Tash, pass it, I'm here, I'm unmarked.
Brilliant. Fantastic stuff. Thank you for that one, Ali. That was a really good question. We will be back again with the mailbag next week and the main show. Remember, you can dive into the back catalogue and listen to any of the Offside Rules from this season. On the main show every week, we do a feature called In the Spotlight, where we talk about different discussion points. Very recently on last week's show, we spoke to Julie Grundy from Donny Bells and about their demise when they were demoted in 2013 and Manchester City took their place in WSL. It was a key moment in time, really looking back for WSL and the way that it's now gone on to be where it is, especially when you consider that Manchester City are in this title race as well. But loads of topics like that for you to go and digest. If you've not listened to them all, go back and leave us a review whilst you're there after you've listened. That would be amazing and would help other people find the show. Until next time, Natasha, I shall see you post-massage.
The Offside Rule Mailbag. Send us your questions on social media. We're at Offside Rule Pod. Sports Social Podcast Network.